just while you're finding that reference, it's worth saying that as we've said goodbye to a few people today, next Sunday Tom is going to be saying hello to a few people, and these will be people who are starting new ministries in Canterbury, and those individuals are part of our church family here, so we'll be able to just rejoice in that and celebrate in that and pray for those people too. Just dawns on me that there are some people beginning new challenges in this year, and I've spotted Lisa over there, and Lisa just graduated from Christchurch University and she's starting a brand new job. Have you already started, Lisa? Start tomorrow. St. Peter's Methodist School, isn't it? Primary school. So just pray for people like Lisa who'll be starting new jobs, and those, of course, who are seeking new jobs too, that they would just know God's presence in their life at this time. So Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 4 to 8 this morning. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And we give thanks for the reading of God's word this morning. Well, during the summer series, we've explored together the I am sayings or statements of Jesus, and we've discovered or remembered afresh that Jesus is the bread of life, the one who fills our life hunger. He is the light of the world, the one who extinguishes the darkness and brings light to our lives and our paths. He is the good shepherd, the one who knows and cares for his flock, searching for the lost one of 99 and laying down his life for the sheep. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who gives direction and guidance to those who follow him. He is reliable and trustworthy, 100% integrity, and gives life that is both full and everlasting. And Jesus is the true vine, the one in whom we have life and bear fruit that will last. There are more I am sayings and statements of Jesus. And in our short passage today, Revelation chapter 1, we find the last I am saying of this series. But actually, we learn a good deal more about Jesus in such a short passage. We learn that he is part of the Trinitarian God. We learn that he is faithful witness, verse 5, that he's firstborn from among the dead, ruler of the kings of the earth. That's good to know, isn't he? He rules all the kings of the earth. He loves us, and he has freed us from our sins by his blood. Thank God. And he has made us to be a kingdom, a people, a community, a family, a kingdom, and priests to serve his God and Father. But our focus today is in those words in verse 8, where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, for some reason, I have recently been thinking about the words of Peter in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, where we read the following. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, I don't know how you would respond to this challenge or articulate your faith and hope in Jesus Christ to anyone who asks for it. And there are, of course, many responses that we might give. But for me, my hope is shaped by a firm belief in one God is creator. And two, God is savior. God is creator and God is savior. And it's interesting because I've discovered this week that actually those two beliefs articulate a strong faith in God who is Alpha and Omega. Let me explain that further. You see, Jesus describes himself as Alpha. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. It is accompanied in Scripture by Omega to form a divine title that refers to God's sovereign rule over the history of creation. A divine title that is not only used for God the Father, but used by Jesus to affirm himself as not only man, but God, divine. He is the first and the beginning, crucial to my faith and hope. Why? Because this title tells me that Jesus created all things. As Paul puts it in Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, I don't believe that science just decided to put things into being, or that luck sustains us. I believe in the God, in the Christ, who is Alpha, Creator, the first, the beginning, the one in whom creation originates and is sustained. And how could you not believe in such a God when you watch TV programs like Planet Earth or Blue Planet? I mean, that's a strong part of my argument. Thank you, Lord, for David Attenborough. He will be saved by his death, I'm sure. You know, for me, they highlight the awesomeness, the magnitude of the God who created all things. For me, they prove that a God exists. When you look at the way in which creation works, even where animals live and how they work within that environment, to me, that doesn't speak of just a moment that happened and things came into being, but they speak of a God who put them there, who created order, not chaos. And yes, I know our world is broken, and I know our world is fragmented. Let me remind you this morning that the Bible doesn't shy away from that. The Bible speaks about that fragmentation, speaks about the fact that creation will be liberated one day. The Bible does address those things, but I watch these programs, and all I can do, I don't know if this is what David Attenborough intends, but all I can do is worship God. Praise him, thank him, adore him for the beauty of his creation. Predictably, I was going to show a clip from one of David Attenborough's programs, but then I remembered a video that my mum posted on Facebook about creation, and I think it's deeply thought-provoking, actually, so we're going to just take a look at that video as we consider God as creator. I don't know how well you saw that video or how scientifically accurate it is, to be honest, being just a humble Baptist minister. But I think it helps us to recognize the vastness of God's creation, doesn't it? That God's creation just goes on and on and on. And it speaks of just how big our God is, how almighty our God is, but also speaks of how astounding it is that despite just being a fragment of that creation, God loves us. He loves you and he loves me. Individually, personally, he loves us and he cares for us. And the reason I have hope in Jesus Christ, the Alpha, is because I not only believe that he created the heavens and the earth and the galaxies and all that we've just seen this morning, but he created me. And he didn't do it carelessly or thoughtlessly. He did it carefully and with purpose, Psalm 139 tells us, you created my inmost being, you being God. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You might not believe these beautiful words to be true this morning, but let me tell you, they give me hope. Because when the world tells me that I'm short, I'm overweight, and not cool enough, I'm sure you don't think that about me. My faith in Jesus Christ tells me that I am loved. I'm loved by the Creator, the Alpha, the one who is there at the beginning, the first. And I have been created for a purpose. There is a reason for my being. The same psalm says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We were created for a reason. God thought about our creation. Yes, we are just a tiny grain, a fragment of the vastness of God's creation. But we're not just a grain or a fragment in the mind and the heart of our Father God. We matter to him to the point where he created us for a reason, for a purpose. It's awesome. It's beyond our understanding. It's awesome. So he is Alpha. He is the Creator, the first, the beginning. But my hope in Jesus also comes from a firm faith that he is Omega, or as I have articulated, Savior. Our creation by the Alpha should speak enough of God's love for us and our value in his eyes. But the greatest expression, actually, of God's love for us has come in the death of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Jesus said himself in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And this is exactly what Jesus, the Alpha, has done for us. The expression of this love is utterly life-changing. Why? Because our end is no longer the end. It's just the beginning of life in all its fullness. You see, without Jesus Christ, our future beyond the grave is bleak. But with Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, who in his death has transformed our eschatological status and given us the prospect of life, we are saved people. We are not lost. We are saved. We were talking last week about the vine and the branches. In Jesus, we are not a branch that is just cast away, that fades and dies. But in Jesus Christ, rooted in Jesus, we have life and we can bear fruit for his glory. Earlier this year, the American evangelist Billy Graham died, and many quoted his own view of death. He said, someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. It turns out, and I didn't know this, but it turns out Billy Graham actually quoted somebody else in those words. He adapted a saying from one of the most prominent preachers and evangelists of the 19th century, D.L. Moody, who put it this way. Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that is all, out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Wow. See, both of these quotes speak of a hope in Jesus Christ that, thanks to his death and resurrection, goes beyond the grave. Being the last letter in the Greek alphabet, Revelation makes a rather firm point that our beginning is not only in God, the Alpha, but our end is also in him, the Omega. He holds the beginning and the end in his hands. And his end is rather beautiful. We read about it in Revelation 21 and 22. This is the end that God is working towards. It concerns a new heaven and a new earth, the new and holy city of Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, shining with the glory of God like a precious jewel, like jasper and crystal. It concerns God's dwelling place and being among the people. And he's wiping away every tear with no more death, mourning or crying or pain, as the older order of things has passed away. It speaks about he's making everything new, when he will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Jesus says in Revelation 22, "Look, I am coming soon." And so the question is, will we recognize him? Will we recognize him as the Son of God? Will we recognize Jesus as the Messiah? Will we recognize Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega? My hope and prayer is that we will. And that we will inherit his end. I've come up with this little saying, which I quite like. I have hope in Jesus Christ, because my end is not the end. My end is in his end, which has no end. My end is not the end. My end is in his end, which has no end. And my prayer is that you will share in his glorious and eternal end, that we will share it together in this beautiful kingdom of God that we read about in Scripture. Let's not miss it, but let's join the feast. I said 2 weeks ago that this series has invited the opportunity to ask, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Is he who he says he is? Well, I believe so. I believe Jesus is the bread of life. I believe Jesus is the light of the world. I believe he is the good shepherd. I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe he is the true vine. And I believe he is the Alpha and the Omega. Dr. Lockridge said, "I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Is he who he said he is?" My hope and my prayer for all of us is that we're able to say yes. Yes. I believe in you, Jesus. I know who you are. And it is my hope and prayer that as we start this new academic year, whether you go to school or not, and the academic year means anything to you, I hope and pray in this new academic year, this new season, that as we finish this series, we don't stop exploring Jesus. No, rather we will carry on. We will walk with him as he walks with us, that we will recognize him, that we will grow in our understanding about who he is, and we will grow in our relationship with him, because it matters. It matters for all eternity. So let's pray that God will help us to do this, shall we? Lord Jesus, it has been such a privilege to be able to study your words during this summer season. It's been such a privilege to understand who you are. And Lord, we conclude this series with this vital description of your identity, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And we recognize in studying these words that you are the creator. That all creation is sustained by you, is held in your hands. You are the beginning. And Lord God, you are the end. Lord, we thank you for these truths. And we ask that you would help us, Lord, to remain rooted in you, to keep our eyes fixed upon you, Jesus. So that we would inherit this eternal place with you. This kingdom which you speak about so beautifully in your word. Our end is not the end. Our end is in your end, which has no end. Lord, help us to place all our trust in you. And it might be this morning there are some here who want to place their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. And so I want to provide an opportunity for you to do that now. And in prayer, just invite you to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are my Savior. Thank you for dying in my place. I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong before you. And I thank you for your forgiveness. Come into my life today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And for the rest of us, Lord, we just pray that this new term, this new school year, this new academic year, Lord, would be a key moment as our relationship deepens with you. Lord, you are our hope. You are our present and our future. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. And we place ourselves in your hands today. In Jesus' name, amen.